You ready for God's word? So in the lead up to Easter, I'm speaking for the next 2 weeks, and then we got Palm Sunday and then Good Friday, Easter Sunday coming up. But in the next 2 weeks, I want to speak from the topic Easter people. And what I want to take a look at is some people around the Easter story and how that impacts us and what enabled them to encounter what they encountered on that Easter weekend. Because I think for all of us, and for me especially, I want to encounter everything that God has for me. All right, four of us do this morning. I want to encounter everything that God has for me. He has great things in store for each and every one of us. And there were some incredible stories around the Easter story and some incredible people that encountered some amazing things. And I want to put myself in a place where actually I want to encounter everything that God has for me. So if you're with me today, why don't you grab your Bible? Some of you have forgotten. You know, if you just lean forward, as the preacher says that, it looks like you've got a physical Bible. So we'll try it in a moment, right? Everyone grab their Bible. They're all the holy people. It works every time. And turn to the book of Mark. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry, it'll be on the screen. You can follow along. Mark 16, I'm going to read 7 verses to us. And this is all around the resurrection of Jesus, and it intros who we're going to speak about today, and it's this woman called Mary Magdalene. It says this: when Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, I'm going to read verse 8, it won't be on there. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. You know, the resurrection is the greatest show. Like, you know, sometimes we don't like to put that language like that, but it was the greatest show. That word show means it's a public spectacle. And it's the greatest show because actually Colossians 2 and verse 15 tells us this: and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them. And so today we can know that resurrection is our hope. It's our victory that gives us hope today. But we're going to take a look at this woman called Mary Magdalene, because I was kind of asking the question, was it a fluke that she was there? Was it just a fluke that she was at the tomb at that very moment, one of the first people to see that actually Jesus was resurrected? That she heard the message of the gospel that Jesus is alive first? Was it a fluke, or was it actually part of a faithful life? Was it part of a faithful life? I don't know if you're like me, but I like watching documentaries or even films that are about like real life stories, that you get to find out a little bit more about somebody or someone. I think that's why podcasts are like so popular these days, because it's not just the ideas that we get, but we get an insight into people's lives that we maybe never got before. The best documentary that personally that I've watched is called The Last Dance, which is all around Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. And it tells the incredible story of their championship, their multiple championship winning team, and how it changed and how different people came into play and all the different things. But throughout the story of Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls is this thought that it wasn't a fluke that it happened, but it was part of something that they'd been working towards. I always remember Michael Jordan's got this famous quote. He says, what you do in empty gyms will fill arenas. But many times in our lives, I guess we live our lives and we see people's arena moment, where everything's gone right, everything's going well. We see the celebration moment where everything's going well. I guess even in this story, we can see Mary Magdalene, and we call this, like, this is a success moment. This is a moment that actually, I guess for all of us, we'd have loved to have been there. We'd have loved to have been in that moment. But was it a fluke? Or was it a faithful life? For many of us, we take a look at our improving our failures and improving our weaknesses. And we might even, in our failures and our weaknesses, we might even take a forensic analysis on our failures. But many times we dismiss the celebration and the successful moments and looking back of what actually led us to those moments. I think in our faith, we sometimes do that. There are moments where we experience God's goodness and God's grace in our lives, but we've not taken a look back on the journey that we were on. And many times we're expecting to have that moment again without realizing there was a journey that God took us on. There was a journey to me experiencing those moments. But we'd all love those moments, like Mary Magdalene. We'd all love those moments. Sometimes we look at other people's moments, those arena moments, and we end up with the, you know, kind of like that fear of missing out on that moment. Or for some of us, we look at some other people's moments and we look at their lives and we can even see the trouble that they're facing, and we have the joy of missing out on those moments. But I'm here to tell us today that God has more for us. He has an encounter for each and every one of us and has incredible moments for all of us. But does it happen by fluke, or does it happen by a faithful life? I guess we've all used the phrase, that was lucky, wasn't it? Our middle son, Silas, and please pray for us because he is pushing boundaries right at this moment. Even during this service, I had to walk out with him because he is pushing boundaries at the moment, and he's really annoyingly cheeky with it, because he just looks at you, smiles as he's doing the very thing that you've told. Do not touch that, Silas. Don't touch it, Silas. We get all of that. But we're a little bit football mad in our house, and we have a ball in the house. And if you come round to our house, you'll just hear us saying, Zion, stop hitting it so hard. But him and Silas play penalties, and they play penalties, and Silas will hit a shot and he'll go, oh, unlucky. And that's his phrase all the time. It goes in the goal. Oh, unlucky. He's like, no, you scored. It wasn't unlucky. You've done it good. But we're trying to teach him, actually, it's not luck or unlucky. Actually, it's practice that enables you to become good. It's actually, you know, some people out there would say, hey, if you want to be world class at something, it takes 10,000 hours worth of doing something. I guess we would all love to be in this success moment as Mary Magdalene's at the tomb and experiencing that Jesus is alive, that we'd love to be in that moment. But if we take a look at the, you know, if we were to like put a documentary on Mary Magdalene's life, we'd take a look at the history and we would see actually it wasn't a fluke, but it was part of a faithful life. Let's turn to Luke 8 and verses 1 to 3, which just gives us an insight into who Mary Magdalene is. It says this: after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. You see, after her encounter with Jesus, after she's received this healing of these, what the Bible calls these evil spirits, after she's received this, after she's done this, she lives this faithful life of supporting Jesus, following Jesus, showing up time and time again. You see over scripture that she just keeps showing up. She's just in the midst. She's just around. So I'm here to declare to us today that it wasn't a fluke that Mary Magdalene was at the tomb, but it was a power of showing up. It was a power of being around. Someone's forgotten that when one claps, we all clap. Unless you're taking extensive notes, then I'll let you off. But you see, she just kept showing up. Let's read John's version of the story in John 20. I'm going to read 17 verses. It says this: early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Side note, this is John writing about himself. Hey, don't laugh. Like, you should just call yourself the one who Jesus loved. You know, it's the greatest thing that you can declare over your life. Anyway, so, and you see in here, John and Peter have a little bit of competition. All right, you see this in this story. I want you to see it. So the one Jesus loved and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. John's kind of saying, hey, I'm quicker than Peter. I'm quicker than him. I'm quicker. And reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Why? Because I'm respectful. I'm respectful. But Peter, well, who was behind him, don't forget he was behind him, because he's slower than him, all right, arrived and just barged his way into the tomb. He just went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb. I don't know. If you got any siblings, you know you'd write it like this, especially if you were quicker. Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around, saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This was no fluke that she was there. This was no fluke. She got to tell the world first that Jesus was alive, that he was resurrected from the dead. Why? Because she showed up. Because she showed up. So what about us today? What can we do to be ready to encounter what Jesus has for us? Well, I believe there are a few things that we can recognize from Mary Magdalene today in the last few moments that we have together on this great Mother's Day that I believe can set us up to encounter what Jesus has for each and every one of us. The first thing is this: she showed gratitude. She showed gratitude. We can be a people who show up by showing gratitude. Grateful people look to be a blessing. Grateful people look to be a blessing. They show up. They are a blessing. And I think gratitude is never silent. Gratitude is never invisible. But grateful people speak up, stand up, and show up. They speak up, they stand up, and they show up because they are fully grateful. I believe if we'll have a grateful attitude towards what Jesus has done for us, we'll speak up, we'll stand up, and we'll show up in our lives. And she shows up grateful to Jesus. You know, we read those verses in Luke 8, just three verses that tell us a little bit of Mary's backstory and her healing. But then it tells us this, that she was there with a few other women, and they were there resourcing Jesus and his disciples. They were using what they had. They were using what they had. Why? Because they were grateful. They were grateful for what Jesus had done. I think you just even have to look at this moment where they're going to the tomb. They're walking to the tomb with spices to anoint Jesus' body, yet they've not even figured out who's going to move the stone because it's heavy. They've not figured out how that's going to happen. Why? Because she's going, what can I do to show my gratitude? What can I do to actually show my gratitude to Jesus, who she declares is my Lord, that she actually shows up grateful? I don't know, but I think when we show up grateful, it leans God's heart towards us. It leans God's heart towards us. I think in a world that can be so cynical, so down on things, so negative, I think when we show up with a grateful heart, actually God's heart gets pointed towards us. I believe he's searching for a grateful people. There's an incredible story of 10 guys who receive healing from Jesus, but only one returns grateful. One returns grateful. I don't know Icon Church, but let's be a grateful church. That when we receive something of God, let's be grateful. We love to celebrate in this church, celebrate all the time throughout our services. Your hands might be a little bit sore from clapping. It's okay. All right, why? Because we're going to be a grateful church. We're going to be grateful to Jesus. We're going to be grateful for what he's doing in people's lives. We're going to stand with people who are hurting. We're going to stand with people, but we're also going to celebrate with people where God is at work in people's lives. We're going to celebrate life change. We're going to celebrate all of that. And so, I don't know, but I think the principle is show up with what you have. Show up with what you have. I want to encourage you, you come on a Sunday, show up with your faith. Show up with expectation. Show up with your faith. You know, Lucy highlighted in our offering today that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you might say, oh, I only have a little bit of faith today. Still show up with that little bit of faith because God can use it. Who knows what the people around us are going through, but actually if I just bring my faith, my expectation in a service to what God's doing, who knows what it could happen to the people around me. Show up to your connect group with your faith. Like your moment of prayer, someone says, I've got something going on this week. Show up with some faith and just go, do you know what? I believe God's going to use this, or God's going to work in that situation, or we're going to believe that God is going to bring about a healing or a breakthrough. It's just showing up with what we have. You know, it's incredible. I'm going to highlight it in a moment, but it's incredible that this, like Luke 8, where you get this snapshot, they were just giving to Jesus so that he could do what he was called to do. I don't know, but I want to bring my natural, what I have, and give it to God. Because he'll turn your natural into supernatural. He'll bring your ordinary and make it extraordinary. That he can use with what we have, but we have to have gratitude. And so I want to encourage us today, be a people who show up by showing gratitude. The second thing is this, and don't get excited. Usually it's a 3-point sermon, but it's a 22-point sermon today. She showed resilience. We see that snapshot of that healing taking place. And, you know, it sounds quite major that she was healed from seven demons, quite specific as well. And, you know, but it would be easy for her life to be defined by her past. But she showed resilience. She actually showed resilience that actually I'm not going to be defined by my past, but I'm going to be driven by it to see others set free as well. That I'm not going to be defined by what's gone before me, but actually I can walk into a future where I see God's goodness and God's grace upon my life, but I can see that for the people around me, for my friends and for my family, that she showed resilience. I want to encourage you today that actually whatever has gone on in your past, through Jesus, we're called redeemed, we're called forgiven, we're called part of the family, and we're not abandoned, we're not forgotten, and today we can walk into everything that God has for us. But we can show up with that level of resilience. Actually going, do you know what? I know it wasn't great. I know what happened wasn't great. But do you know what? I can use it. God can use it. More importantly, God can use it. He can take my mess and he can make it a message. Okay? Like, I'm getting all the Christian cliches out today, aren't I? He can take your test and make it a testimony. I needed like keys with the gospel there for us today. But don't dismiss that God can do it just because it's a Christian cliche. You know, I don't know, maybe we'll do a sermon called Christian Cliches once, and we'll just preach on some of the famous sayings of God is good. Yeah, you still know it, some of you. But it's so true. God can take your past and use it. He can make it a message. It can impact people's lives. But for many people, we let our past define us. No. Mary Magdalene, she showed resilience. Hey, that's not going to define me. But what it is going to do, it's going to spur me forward into all that God has got for me. So let's be a people who show up by showing resilience. The next thing is she showed her work. Just like, you know, maths. And you have to show your work. And you know all you've done is used a calculator. Or you've copied off a friend and your teacher says, can you show your work? Mrs. Lloyd here stares at you over your paper with a red pen, just tapping on the, can you show me your work? And I go, yeah, it's called a calculator. That's my work there. You see, Magdalene wasn't Mary's last name. Just like Jesus' last name is not Christ, okay? If you didn't know, I know that's just blown someone's mind today. Like, what? I've been writing letters to Mr. Jesus Christ. I know. Like, when it says Jesus of Nazareth, that was what Mary Magdalene was. You know, many times they would refer to Jesus as like son of Joseph. We see a story of a healing of a blind man called Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was not his name. Bartimaeus just meant son of Timaeus. Okay, this is how they recognized and identified people in those days. It's interesting if you, I found out this as I was looking through it. If you go to Israel, they used to call Jesus of Nazareth. But actually, if you go to Capernaum, it says on the gates that this is the home of Jesus because Nazareth rejected him. So he went, I'm going to Capernaum then. Him going there. But Mary Magdalene means this. It means Mary of a place called Magdala. And it's interesting to recognize this today because Magdala was full of wealth, okay? It was like on the port and it was where you would go to get your Gucci bag. It like all the cloth, everything, the dyes, everything. And actually, as we're reading about this, some scholars says Mary wasn't just Mary of Magdala. She wasn't that, she was Mary the Magdalene. She was so important to the place that actually she was like a huge part of the place's success. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think we read about Jesus healing seven demons and we think she'd probably been outcast, out of the way. No, she was successful. She had resources. Luke 8 tells us that. She got resources to give to Jesus to help him do what he was doing. She had resources. So actually, there are people who are, you know, it looks like they're living at large, but they're still in darkness. There are people in our world where it looks like they've got it all together, but actually they need the hope of Jesus. And so she had everything, it seemingly, but not what she needed. Not what she needed. And very much our world is exactly the same. And so she showed her work that actually after this incredible encounter she has with Jesus, she's set free from whatever these seven demons were. She was able to use all that she had for the kingdom. She was able to use all that she had for God's kingdom. I don't know, but not like maths, but I want to show my work. Use what I have for God's kingdom. Use what God has given me for God's kingdom to bring it about. I want to be a person who shows up by showing my work and saying, do you know what, Jesus, here, I'm going to offer it to you. Some of you actually need to get into a rhythm of actually giving God your work. Some of you have separated your faith from your work. No, your Monday is as important as your Sunday. Your workplace is as important as your Sunday. Son, I'm here. I want to build your faith today. I want to build your faith that God has more for you. I want you to leave from this place knowing that God is for you, God is with you, that you can walk into whatever you have. But I want you to walk into that tomorrow as well. As you pull up to your workplace, as you park in your usual parking spot, because we love the same things. However you go, whether you're going to study, whether you're going to work, whether you're just waking up and you've got to look after the kids, give God your work and say, would you use it today? Would you use what I have today? Would you let my conversation be sweet? Would you let it be everything that you want it to be? Because actually, she showed her work, and I believe that we can be a people who show up by showing our work. And I believe when we show our work, we'll encounter God and we'll hear incredible stories. I know I talk a lot about football, but one of the places that I did that was just in my football scene. Football very much became like a separate part until I was about 19 years old. And then it was just a moment where I just went, no, God, I want you to use this. I love it. I enjoy it. But actually, I want it to be more than this. I want you to use it. And it was at that moment something changed. All of a sudden, conversations changed. All of a sudden, different things happened. So much so that, you know, many of you heard the story of the dressing room where music's playing. I'm having a conversation about church and someone comments saying, this music's rubbish. And so, like, all of a sudden, mid-conversation with my friend, he says, oh, Nathan will play us Summer's Come By Our Music. And in that moment, I just remembered, no, God, I want you to use this. So, scared isn't a strong enough word, petrified. I got my phone out and I play a song that we would play in church and the whole dressing room goes silent. And I'm thinking, oh no, what's going to happen? One of the lads pipes up and says, oh, this is quite good. It's like the stuff I listen to, this. Anyway, listen to the song. Footballers are really superstitious. We won the game. We had to play that song every time before because Jesus was with us. But if I'd not said to God, God, I want you to use this, I'm not sure it would have happened. I'm not sure me, would have been in a place to go, oh, I'm going to do that. I think I'd have gone, nah, I ain't got anything. But because I wanted to show my work, things can happen. So she showed her work. Fourthly, she showed the way. She showed the way. There's around 14 times we see Mary Magdalene in Scripture, and it's always referenced with other people. There are other people around her. She showed the way. I don't know, but I imagine Mary Magdalene was contagious, that she had a contagious spirit, that she was passionate, and through her influence, she was able to gather other people around her. We even read some of the names, and one of the names was a lady called Cuza, who was like in Herod's household. She's the manager of Herod's household. How incredible is that, that actually someone of that influence was around Jesus, and someone who, you know, ultimately, like, Herod would be part of crucifying Jesus, she was resourcing what Jesus was doing in that moment. I don't know, but I want to show the way for many, many people. That actually I want to be a person that declares, like when things get said about me, that it wasn't just me by myself, but actually there were other people around me. You know, I can imagine that Mary Magdalene would go, hey, we're going here because Jesus is going here. And it's like, hey, let's all go together. Let's all go together. But many times we live our lives and we live our lives just by ourselves. But I want to say, no, bring people with you. Get people around you. Show people the way. You know, we love to do this thing called Invest and Invite at Icon Church. Where do you know what? I'm going for a coffee. Do you know what? I'll invest in someone. Let me grab a coffee with you. And then at the right time, I'm going to invite you. Invite you to church. There are so many great opportunities to invite people to church. Easter weekend is a great opportunity. Great opportunity, as Ellie said. Do you know what? What a great day to invest in a friend. Give extravaganza. I'm trying to think of the name off the top of my head. But what a great day. What a great idea, Ellie. Do you know what? Get a friend who's got kids. Hey, why don't we drop our kids off and let's go for a coffee? Well, we don't have to think about the kids, but we'll probably end up talking about the kids anyway. That's how it happens. But what a great opportunity to invest in someone's life. What a great opportunity to invite. She showed the way. She showed the way for many, many people. Salome was going to the tomb with her. She was like, I'm not just going alone. Let's go together. I don't know, but let's do life together. Let's be a people who show up by showing the way. All right, we're nearly finished, don't worry. Fifthly, she showed courage. She showed courage. See, there's an incredible moment at the cross where it tells us who was there, and she was there. She was at the cross. Many disciples aren't there. Why? Because they're running scared. They're petrified, and rightly so, because they could have been arrested to be accomplices to it, and they could have faced what Jesus was doing. But she was there. She had courage to be there. Peter, actually, we read the story, he denies Jesus three times, yet Mary Magdalene, she was there. Matthew 27 and verse 55 to 56 tell us many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. She was there. She showed courage to be there. I don't know, but we can be a people who show up by showing courage. Courage in difficult circumstances, courage in difficult moments. I think when we face difficulty, it's very easy to withdraw and pull away, and even pull away from community, pull away from church. But I want to encourage us, let's be a people who show courage by keep showing up, keep turning up, keep showing up. I believe that miracle is on the other side of just keep showing up, keep turning up. I was, we were at a network lunch for pastors once, and I sat on a table. Mum and Dad were there, and there was a pastor who'd been there and who were there and who'd only started being a pastor. And so Mum and Dad at that time, I think it was like 25-30 years they'd been leading the church, and he said, oh, so what's your number one tip? And my dad just went, just keep showing up, just keep turning up. Keep believing, keep turning up, keep showing up, keep believing. For some of us, we may feel distant from God today. I want to encourage you, keep showing up. Because if you'll draw near to Him, the promise is He'll draw near to you. You feel brokenhearted today, and the temptation is to pull away. No, keep showing up, because it tells us that God is close to the brokenhearted. There are many circumstances and many situations that we feel, and we allow our feelings to withdraw us. No, keep showing up. For some of us, we even say today, oh, I'm not sure, I've not connected as fully as I want to. Well, keep showing up, keep making the conversations, keep turning up, keep being willing to invite someone for a drink, a coffee, whatever it might be. I don't know, but I've seen it time and time again in the life of church. When I keep showing up, God's blessing ends up on the other side. She showed courage. It's going to take some courage, because everything within you goes, oh no, I should step away. No. I want to be like Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross going, okay, Jesus, I'm going to show up. What you got for me? I'm here. Draw near to me. And for some of us, we even walk in this place and it feels like we've shown up, but we haven't really shown up because everything's focused on everything else out there. I don't know, but the Bible tells us that God rewards those who diligently seek him. When you walk in this place, come with an expectant heart. Show up with your heart going, okay, Jesus, I'm here. You know what's happening out there, but I'm just going to push that to the side. I want to focus on you. I'm going to fix my eyes on you today. And I'm believing you've got something for me. She showed courage. The last thing is this. She showed her true colours. Crisis shows you who you truly are. She's in this moment at the tomb. She's there. Jesus has gone. It's a crisis. She doesn't know what's happening. She's probably asking the question, how? Why? She asked the angel who sat there, hey, if you know where he is, just tell me and I'll go and get him. I'll go and get him. There's this crisis. And then there's this incredible, where we read it in the book of John, this moment where she has this conversation and she declares these words, my Lord, not our Lord. Not someone didn't know it was my Lord. It was personal to her. It was personal. In this moment where it seemed like everything was going wrong, they've taken my Lord. The question to us today is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Because I think this is the most important question when we think about showing up, when we think about turning up. It's not the question of, you know, even what's going on. It's the question of, who is Jesus to you? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Has he brought forgiveness into your life? Has his grace changed your life? Have you encountered his love, his grace, everything that he has for you? Because I believe when he's your Lord, you'll show up and you'll hear his voice. Jesus said this, hey, my sheep know my voice. You'll hear his voice. As soon as Jesus said Mary, she knew it was him. Mary stayed at the tomb even when everyone else had gone. Why? Because where is my Lord? And in this moment she finds. And ultimately, throughout her life, she just kept showing up. Time and time again, she was there. She showed up. She got to hear Jesus' voice after his resurrection. Why? Because she showed up. You want to hear God's voice today? Show up. Put yourself in the place to hear his voice. She got to be first to share about the resurrection, that Jesus was alive. Why? Because she showed up. You see, I believe today the power is in showing up. It's by putting yourself in the place, drawing near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Seeking him diligently and he'll reward you. You get to experience, you want to experience his grace today? Show up. You want to experience his healing today? Show up. You want to experience his love today? Show up. Experience his forgiveness today? Show up. Experience his goodness today? Show up. You want to experience the encounter of the Holy Spirit? Show up today, because the power is in showing up. So why don't we stand to our feet? And we're going to worship. You know, sometimes I love finishing my message and like, let's go for it. Like, it's a rally call and it's a cry to us. But I don't know, I felt today as I was praying, we did something through our prayer and fasting, and the first part was just acknowledging his presence. And I think for some of us today, we've walked in and we've shown up physically, mentally, our soul, or elsewhere. And so we're going to take a moment in worship and we're just going to acknowledge that he's here, and we're going to just show up. And I'm not going to come with any request or anything in front of me. God knows all of that. He knows what I need today. He knows if I need to experience his grace, his love, the infilling of the Holy Spirit today. He knows what I need today. I'm just going to show up. And I'll put myself in a place of worship, fixing my eyes on Jesus. Some of the ways that help me to do that is just by closing my eyes, raising my hands, opening my hands, just to be able to go, do you know what? Physically, I'm going to show up as well, because it changes my posture. And so today, if that's you, you're saying, do you know what? I don't know. I think I want to encounter God today. I need to show up. Why don't you put yourself in a place? I'm here. I'm showing up right now. And just acknowledge His presence. He's here. His presence is here. His goodness is here. His grace is here. Lord, we acknowledge that You are here in our midst. We thank You today. And we offer our lives to You. And just as Mary Magdalene did, we show up. We put ourselves in the place to receive what You have for us. Lord, I pray right now that people would experience Your goodness, Your grace. Pray for anyone who needs to experience Your forgiveness right now. They would experience that forgiveness. Declare Your shame be gone in the name of Jesus. Receive His forgiveness, His love, His mercy today. Thank You that You're here.